Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the 267th edition of the Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you American perspective of our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. You can get your daily reading from me now at Once a Metro on the New York Red Bulls, onceametro.com, with SB Nation. Come on over, take a look. I've already written my introduction to SB Nation's Once a Metro. Very, very excited to be joining them, and very soon we'll be writing an article on one of the players that is no longer on the club. They did not take his option. We'll not tell you who that article will be on, but I will write the beat writer now of Once a Metro, so you can go ahead and take a look there on everything New York Red Bulls over there. And of course, you can still be with me here on Feuerstein's Fire American Soccer Show for everything involving the American game, MLS, NASL, USL, still covering the U.S. Open Cup, still doing the U.S. men's national team, the U.S. women's national team. But don't worry, when we get ready for the 2016 MLS season, we will still have first hour national, second hour New York Red Bulls local. So I hope everyone will enjoy the new introduction edition. And once again, let me just say thank you again to fansfavorite.com with Rick Lachlan on the Red Bulls. And let me once again thank Soccer News Days, Mike Firpo, and Herb Scribner for allowing me to throw my opinions out there. I'm very, very excited and very, very happy to be part of Once a Metro of the SB Nation family joining as well. The 2015 MLS Cup Final, that was probably the strangest and the most interesting start to a final I think I have ever seen. It was really, really interesting to watch. It was very interesting to take a look at. And you know what? I just got to say that the Portland Timbers, your 2015 MLS Cup champions, I'm pretty sure a little bit more north than north of the border in Seattle and Vancouver, are not really happy with what just happened. Probably just very, very angry, because the Timbers are the first Cascadia side to win the first ever MLS Cup championship in the two states in the province area. Cannot wait. Because this is going to be an interesting offseason for the current MLS Cup champions in the Portland Timbers. You know, that start was something that no one ever thought would ever happen. No one ever thought that was ever going to happen with a start like that. Steve Clark, you know, you can tell when he's on his game, and you can also tell when basically he allows a howler of a goal. To be that overly confident and to be that overly, I guess, questionable, I guess, overly, what the heck are you doing with that ball? Why all of a sudden are you playing with a ball like that? And he allows the Timbers to not only get the first goal of the match, but to allow Diego Valeri, 30 seconds in, to track that ball and to just punch it away from Clark's feet, put it in, and shock, awe, dismay. What the heck just happened? I don't know why that happened. When did this happen? How could this happen? This is unbelievable. The Portland Timbers find a way. Find a way to just put the majority of MAPFRE Stadium into shock and disbelief that their Columbus Crew were down a goal very quickly. 30 seconds in, just unbelievable things. And then, of course, we'll get to it. We'll get to it, I promise. I know, Columbus supporters, I know you're not happy with how that second Timbers goal was scored. But let's say this right now. Tony Chani, as always, you need to understand when you don't hear a whistle from the referee, you continue to play. When there is no blowing of a whistle being achieved, being out there, being blown from the lips of the referee, if there is no whistle being blown, you must continue to play the ball. And play the ball you did not. Play the ball you did not. And let me just tell you something right now. You should be ashamed. You should be ashamed, Tony Chani, for allowing yourself to just stand there waiting for something to happen when it didn't. And here comes the Portland Timbers once again. And then it's Lucas Milano who got a nice ball from Darlington Nagbe. A beautiful cross to Rodney Walls with a diving header. Positioned perfectly, placed perfectly. And it's 2-0 in a matter of 7 minutes. 2-0 for the Portland Timbers. And then good try, good job, Kai Kamara. In the 18th minute, you pulled one back. Another scramble. It's another howler of a goal. Another keeper howler. This time, Adam Larson Kowarase. He cannot hold on to it. Kai Kamara grabs it, turns himself around, quick whipping shot, and that ball is inside the back of the net. And it's 2-1 it's 2-1 Portland. But that would be all the goal scoring there was. How many opportunities did the Portland Timbers have? How many opportunities could they do and just kept on hitting woodwork? I mean, I thought that chance around the middle of the second half, I thought the ball was in for the Timbers. I thought the ball is over the goal line, completely over the goal line. The sight of the near side assistant was blocked. That's where I thought that maybe on replay we'll get a better opportunity to see if the ball did go over the line. It did not. So great job by the near side assistant for not raising his flag to say that's a goal. Because just remember, if it's an offside call, the flag will go up, it'll be waving, and then it will go straight ahead to say offside. If that was a goal, and the assistant will inform the referee it is a goal, besides the headsets, he will just lift up his flag to say goal, will not move it, and then bring it down all the way, not halfway, all the way, to claim it's a goal, and he'll run back to midfield, to the midfield stripe. So what we have seen, just unbelievable moments in this matchup, and Portland, who probably should have been up 3-1, 4-1, did not happen, but still, they do just enough to go out there and to get victory for the city of Portland. Providence Park, everyone went over there after the championship to celebrate. The Columbus Crew, shock and awe, they fought back, they pulled a goal back. Unfortunately, just not enough for the Columbus Crew to go out there and to do the job to either force extra time or to get two goals. And the Columbus Crew will remain at home as the Portland Timbers will capture not just their first ever major U.S. soccer trophy, but they are going back to the CONCACAF Champions League, and they will represent one of the sides in the Western Conference. So representing the West in MLS, FC Dallas winning the Western Conference regular season, Sporting Kansas City winning the U.S. Open Cup, the Portland Timbers winning MLS Cup, and the New York Red Bulls, the only lone American MLS side in the East, the Supporters Shield winners, and representing Canada in Major League Soccer, the Vancouver Whitecaps, representing the Western Conference as well. So it's 4-1 again on the ratio. And we shall see what will happen in the draw next year, maybe around May. And of course, we're going to see some fantastic moments. And let's get ready for a 2016 season. Now let's get to Columbus, to the supporters of the Crew. That second goal should never have counted for Portland. Yes, that ball was at least a good foot and a half, 2 feet, over the far side touchline. Tony Chani had every right to complain about it. But once again, though, Tony Chani should have continued to play that ball because the whistle never blew. And that is a shame. That is a very, very, very big shame because the pro department is probably not happy to see a poor decision like that influence the game. Don Garber, good old Don Garber, good old Commissioner Don Garber. Apparently, fan base has a considerable development gap. Apparently, he trusts every other referee that Pro has. That was FC shambles right there if you're a referee. If you're an assistant, that is FC shambles. That is completely shambolic officiating that has destroyed what probably was a great cup final. And here is the quote from Commissioner Don Garber. "Our officials are a lot better than people give them credit for," Garber told the Toronto Sun, which is probably Kurt Larson, who probably was interviewing Don Garber for this. "We track it. That's not just my opinion. I attended a game with someone at Red Bull Arena. That person spent the entire game complaining about the officiating." Yes, Baldomero Toledo, who is the worst referee that Pro has. "Happened to be a Red Bull fan. They didn't like the outcome. Ultimately, though, referee Baldomero Toledo had a very good game." No, he did not, Don. "He didn't make many mistakes." Oh, yes, he did. "He did not call fouls properly, and he allowed the handbags in 10 paces. He allowed the handbags in 10 paces. And we almost had a fight. "They didn't like the outcome. Ultimately, though, referee Baldomero Toledo had a very good game. He didn't make many mistakes. No official is perfect. We know that. He controlled the game. I thought it was well done. Yet the social chatter and criticism was massive. I understand why that is. There is a development gap between the knowledge of our fan base and, in some cases, our broadcasters and the way the game has developed." Don, shame on you once again. Shame on you, Don Garber, for not basically admitting that Peter Walton, who has done a good job trying to assess these referees, they are not listening to what he is saying. And sadly, Don, these referees have been failing the game in the United States. The question I pointed out a long time ago, what happens if our players are improving, but the state of our officiating has not? We all know about the one shining star that has dulled. Sadly, very, very sadly, our officials are just not doing the job that they're supposed to be doing. And once again, a great cup final has been marred with incompetent officials. And it's just absolutely disgraceful. And once again, the fans of the game are the ones who are hurt. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to recap the MLS Cup final. Once again, the Portland Timbers winning by a final of 2-1. We're going to have on, from the massive report of SB Nation, of course, Sam Fahmy, and we'll also have on Matt Goschert. But to talk about the Portland Timbers side of things, of course, the one and the only man, and we're going to try and get him back in here, if we can. Of course, it's now, once again, he's back with Fox Soccer, Fox Sports 1. Christian Miles, of course, a Portland native. As we get ready to go here, get ready to talk about this championship victory from the Portland Timbers side of things. Hopefully we'll have him ready to go as we try to get him back on and talk about this big-time victory. And let's see if we have him on right now. Christian, are you there?
Hey, guys.
Hey, how's it going? Congratulations.
It's going.
Congratulations, Christian. Of course, a Portland native you are. Everyone in Portland, Oregon, as you've already said, the first major title since the Trailblazers won the NBA championship. That must be a great feeling for you and everyone, of course, family members in Portland enjoying this victory. I can hear your kids are screaming for it, too.
They're partying over here. They're so ecstatic. They're big Jorge Villafana fans.
Wow.
Who, by the way, as I mentioned, he is the Dave Twardzik of this current generation, just to throw the parallels between, 2015 and 1977. For those of you who don't know, Dave Twardzik was the engine that made the Timbers tick way back in the day as point guard. But great win, deserved win. You can't really argue with, the deserving factor for the Portland Timbers. They outplay Columbus on the day. There's just a real sense of destiny about this team, that, going back to the penalty kick shootout and the way they turned it on, even back to the regular season. And you can argue with the format of MLS, but there's no arguing the Portland Timbers in the postseason. They were the form team, and therefore that's the criteria for being the best team.
I mean, that was – if you want to go back all the way to the wild card game, the double post shot and out in favor of Portland, were you worried about those two opportunities on the other side in the second half? Because obviously there should have been a penalty call for Portland because, yes, Parker's handled the ball – on the goal line, but throw that out for a second. That was a crazy bar post, bar out, and then off the cross, off the post, off the keeper, and out for a corner. I mean, were you thinking like, oh my God, we could get something against us in this moment in the second half because you're still up by a goal?
Yeah, I did have that same kind of almost like flipping the script kind of destiny about it, but the way they came strong like that, there was some of that worry, but in the end, not really. I mean, I have to say, it was pretty abject from Columbus. I mean, they were absolutely, blunt-edged going forward, didn't create much, and didn't have much coming in from the wide areas, and, you can say how bad they were, or you credit how good Portland's defending was. They really shut down the wide areas. A lot of the credit has to go to, Rodney Wallace and Villafana on the left-hand side, and, of course, mm-hmm. Milano and Powell on the right, who really limited the service for Miram. And, we've heard about Kai Kamara jumping out of the gym and how he's the best player in the year in Major League Soccer, perhaps behind Didier Drogba. But and what an athletic presence he is, and Columbus with the home field advantage. But there really wasn't much for Kai Kamara there. There weren't any chances for them. There weren't too many sniffs in the second half when Portland just put the clamps on and locked it down.
Let me ask you about Adam Larson. If I'm mispronouncing it, you can tell me. Kawarasi?
Kawarasi, yeah.
You know, I know since Portland came up from the USL to play in MLS, you had Donovan Ricketts. You had, I forget his name already, but the former DC United keeper, of course, in net for you guys. And,
Troy Perkins.
I guess the real question with Timbers since coming into the league, not so much about tactics or formations for them, whether it was, of course, the old Scott that was running the club or Caleb Porter, because it looked like that was okay. The real question was, who's going to be the keeper to send the Timbers to the promised land? And I would have to say he has answered your questions and prayers.
Yeah, he's, both goalkeepers, Clark and Kawarasi, aren't the most solid of keepers, and let's be honest. But what stands out in the back for Portland is that back line. And we've got a good central partnership like you have with Nat Borchers, who has to be considered one of the signings. He is Portland's signing of the season, but has to be considered one of the coups in the transfer market for Major League Soccer, for Portland to get such an experienced, level-headed, committed, and really knowledgeable central defender to forge that partnership alongside, whether it was Liam Ridgewell or Paparazzo. That was the key for me for them, because they provided so much protection from Corse, who had the error on the punch. But that back line cannot be praised enough. Almost a back five, if you will, when you throw in the likes of Diego Chara operating as that at a proverbial number six and operating as that shield. And that's where Portland won it this season. The goals are struggling. At the beginning of the campaign, he didn't have the flow, and Adi had a problem fitting in. As Taylor Twellman has alluded to thousands of times, they made the tactical adjustment, dropping in Darlington Nagbe underneath, and with Adi up there, it allowed a little more room and put Nagbe in a better position to be more effective going forward. But you always knew that Portland was going to defend, and any coach will tell you got to have it locked down in the back. And Kawarasi, he's a brilliant shot stopper, still has a ways to go in terms of understanding his positioning, and for God's sakes, I'd really like to see him catch a ball every once in a while.
Well, you don't want to see the defense back up and allow Felipe another run at goal from distance, so I don't I don't want to throw that on your celebration party over there, but you just got to say that this has been, let's be honest here. Porter has been maligned with some criticism, of course. I mean, obviously, Portland is such a town that loves their Timbers. I know they love their Trailblazers, but it's always been a soccer city ever since the original NASL came around. I know the Timbers are well-loved in Portland. I mean, do you think finally Caleb Porter has answered all the critics?
Absolutely. He's a brash character. I know Caleb because I spent some time working with the organization a couple of years ago. He's a brash. He can be a prickly character. But the fact is, the man knows more about football than you and I, and probably every pundit out there will forget. And he's demonstrated it on the pitch. And I think one of the characteristics that I've seen from Caleb Porter since he came in back in 2013 is his evolution. He's become more pragmatic. He's understood the strengths and weaknesses of his team. He's coming out of college, he was a guy that was married to his 4-2-3-1. He wanted to knock it around. He wanted to pass it around. Loved to go scout the Argentinian players. Wanted to keep it on the floor. But then he brings in players like Adi. He brings in, a player like Milano. And that gives him a little bit more directness, a little bit more brawn and muscle. And that's, I think, an essential element for any team to have at least some sort of that in their offensive arsenal if they want to be successful in this league. And it was interesting to see him, he said he was releasing the hounds, so to speak. He says, just let those guys go for it and get out there. And Portland at times, they can play some good stuff, but they are often at their best when they were more direct. And that's really indicative of the growth of Caleb Porter, because he wasn't that kind of coach coming in. And he was very much a purist of keeping it down on the ground and knocking it around. But, you know, ever the pragmatist, and that's a credit to him. He's made those adjustments. He's evolved as a coach. And I always think the best attribute or best compliment you can pay a coach is, you know, set your team up to win and play and set your team up to your players' strengths. And that's exactly what he did.
You know, I'm looking at the numbers here of this match, and Portland, of course, advantage on the shots of 12-9. Shots on target, 8-1. Of course, the only one that Columbus got was the Kamara goal. But, you know, wow. I mean, just attack, attack, attack. 9 corners to 4. Definitely 68 duels won, 30 tackles won. And like you said, the defense, the back line was great. Borchers has been great. 18-11 Portland on the clearances. You know, you just got to say, it's not just, of course, Borchers, but Caleb had a game plan going for this final, and it was perfect execution.
It really was, you know, and it's, you know, it goes back to destiny or whatever, but it's a team that it came together. It's, you know, they flipped the script a little bit in midfield with the likes of playing Darlington a little bit more advanced, Darlington Nagbe, and giving more defensive responsibility to Diego Chara, who for me, for my estimation, is one of the more underrated players in this league. That guy covers more ground, provides more tactical steel, more support in the center of the park than a lot of players that get more credit in this league than he does. And guy, you can't say enough about along the lines of Villafania as well on the left-hand side, who I've had a chance to see grow from a kid who was cleaning church pews in Anaheim with his dad to winning the Sueño tryout, becoming a first-team regular with Chivas USA. And then, you know, a few years, 8 years later, is an MLS Cup champion. So, you know, that's a story in itself. But they did push all the right buttons. And, you know, there's a lot of criticism about the MLS format, but that's what you need. You've got to come alive here in the last stages. That's exactly what they did. And, you know, I looked at that team on paper, and I couldn't – leading up to the game, I was really surprised at how much favoritism, how many people were picking Columbus to win this. And I, you know, of course I'm biased, but if you look at that team on paper, I had no doubt in my mind Portland was going to win that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, let's be honest. The way Steve Clark played that ball, I was shocked that he didn't see Diego Valeri come out of nowhere and just basically punch it away from his feet on the sliding tackle to make it 1-0 30 seconds in. The fastest goal scored in MLS Cup final history. That has got to be a great moment to see that happen. Probably even before you started drinking your beer. I don't know.
Two words, Fabian Barthez.
No, not that again.
Yep.
Wow.
I mean, that was something special. You know, the casualness, how can you – this is a cup final, and it's – you know, Clark made a mistake, which is unforgivable, and, you know, I don't want to, you know, kick a man when he's down, but – you know, it's this whole Columbus team. They were still in the locker room. You know, of course they had some, you know, the refereeing. The less we say about that, the better. And, you know, the ball going out of play, but still, as everyone has said throughout the feedback and the commenting after the fact that, hey, you got to play the whistle. And Columbus didn't. And the fact is they were outplayed in that first 15 minutes, and they just weren't there. And it's inexplicable to me, especially in front of your home fans, that you don't get up for this game. You can't get up for that game, an MLS Cup final, in your home stadium. I don't know what you can get up for. Now, you have to give them credit, and the tip of the hat to Greg Berhalter. I thought after the first 15 minutes in the first half, they settled in very nicely and were the better of the team from about the 15th minute all the way to halftime. Unfortunately for Columbus, it didn't carry over to the second half. Portland took their control, and I think we have to be, you know, a little tip of the hat here to Greg Berhalter. He plays a real attractive brand of soccer that I like to watch as a neutral, and I know the fans of Columbus like to watch. It just didn't happen for them on the day, and they'll go back retool. But I think the foundations for their future success are very well laid, and it's not the last we've heard of the Columbus crew and Greg Berhalter.
Absolutely. So, last question is this. CONCACAF Champions League once again. Do you feel Caleb Porter is going to take it a little bit more seriously than the last time? Because I know first time for the Timbers to be in International Cup competition. It looked like they were going to have a good start, and then the end just fizzled. Do you think it'll be a little bit better this time around?
You know, it's such a funny thing, this CONCACAF Champions League, because the proverbial deck is stacked against Major League Soccer clubs with the setup of the league, comparing it to the likes of the Mexican League. So I think, though, you may be on to something there, and there's something that could be said for Caleb Porter. Hey, he's got this MLS Cup under his belt. He's proven himself at the domestic league level. Now it's time to take this and expand it to the continental level, and that's an even more ambitious task, because we know about the MLS failings in North America in the CONCACAF Champions League. The clubs have been long overshadowed by the more well-financed, the better tactically, the better technical Mexican clubs. If Caleb Porter can overcome that, then, you know, we're talking about a coach that's going to go down as one of the best out there, and, you know, you start throwing him around with the Bob Bradleys eventually. But that's going to be a test to be seen, and a lot's going to be remain on the fact, what can Portland do in the transfer window to set up a little bit more depth for their team, because you need depth like that when you're playing those kind of games, and you're playing a game every 48 hours and the horrendous travel that's associated with it. So, and that's something you have to, you know, tip your hat to Gavin Wilkinson, who's the general manager of the Timbers, who helped Caleb set that team up and made those countless trips to Argentina to court Diego Valeri, to court Milano, I mean, and Paparazzo. They brought a level of sophistication to their recruiting that, you know, not a lot of teams have been able to develop and actually see it come to fruition. So if they can capitalize on that, the CCL is next for them. And you know what? The way they go, the way they play, you wouldn't put it past them.
All right, Christian, thank you very much. Congratulations with the Timbers. And I hope to talk to you, if not in a couple of weeks, at least next year. So have a good night, and congratulations once again.
Thanks. RCTID, Rip City, baby.
Bill Walton from three. No, I'm just joking. Take it easy, man. Thank you. Christian Miles, of course, back with Fox Sports covering the FIFA Club World Cup. It should be exciting to talk about. There is a winner. Unfortunately, there has to be a loser. Joining me from Columbus right now is Shinger, the spotlight from the Massive Report podcast. Of course, back probably the most
came as a client. I'm lucky. I had an Indian restaurant across the street.
Yeah, I broke up there right as we began to talk, or you began to talk, so I didn't hear your first question. I'm sorry.
Oh, just to say, you know, guys, that Matt, that must have been a real tough start to see the Timbers take two in the first 7 minutes, especially in an final championship. That was very difficult.
It was. The Timbers came in and they played their game, and they played it very well. The crew came in and were not able to really find that groove, or not able to get in and do what they needed to do. You hope that things like that don't happen again, you know, in an MLS Cup final. Unfortunately, you know, there's off nights, and it's certainly kind of the textbook definition of that. You look the way they're going to get on the play, and when you look at all credit to Chris Corbett, they knew what they wanted to do. They came in and capitalized on mistakes very early by Chris, and you know, went in, they scored that other goal, and we were kind of talking about our show tonight, you know. Yeah, question to call on the second goal, but it doesn't matter if you go Columbus to one counter goal. You're not going to be able to score when you can do that.
Yes, definitely. I agree with you there. Sam, if you're there, Sam Fahmy, of course, he's the tech guy for the basketball podcast. Sam, if you can hear me, at least it was good to see Kai Kamara pull that one goal back. I mean, we know that Columbus, they're never going to die. They're going to go and fight. They're going to scratch and claw to get back in it. But that goal was really important to keep this game close and not lose any sense of adult second half.
You're right. I mean, they literally managed to scratch and claw and run around people just before that goal. Unfortunately, that was their only shot on goal the entire game. And a cup final where there's a possibility of the team going down. I don't want to say quote unquote are down, but really when you only get one shot on goal the entire game, that's not going to get you very far. So the scrap and fought for that one goal, unfortunately they couldn't get enough quality service or even enough penetration.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I do agree with you there. Matt, if I could just, you know, go here and say, you know, Don Garber is always trying to protect the officials. And, you know, I don't blame you or any of your supporters for being upset at the officials because the ball was definitely just a good 1.5-2 feet over the end line on the far side. The second Portland goal should never have happened. And then here's Don Garber, you know, the officials from the Portland goal. That this should have gone.
It was a poor call, and that sucked and it hurt. To throw the entire game on the officiating though, really fair. I didn't like the fact that I didn't like the something about it from Harper and some of the other people that, you know, that acknowledged the fact that it was a poor call, it was a blown call. But I also had to take this game as official. This is a game where stuff like that happens, but that's part of sports. And we don't have many of our I don't even know if that would have necessarily been what he did. I think that would have been a position where he was going to go back and a little bit more tight on.
Yeah, I definitely agree there. Sam, your opinion, of course, you know, we always understand, like, go to England, go to Italy, and if a referee's decision is detrimental to the match, that referee will be held accountable. Why is it on our referee's company? The NFL, baseball, NHL, the NBA, these officials are not held accountable for their actions yet. Everything else except for our
I think you have to do a lot with the way sports are should this game have taken place in Argentina? That referee should be dealing under the exception. You're right. There's referees are quite a game in there, and I think referees are the top referees for baseball umpires. I was talking to one of the experts at our school with me. We were talking about how he perceived was every time the referee called the foul and stuff, he was true to that spot. And then the point to which he was after he blew the whistle. It was very showmanship. Why Garbo expect the referee? I don't know, because they're not even under MLS, they're under pro, professional referee organization. You know, I'm afraid of another strike. I don't know. I I think the substitute referees that they had for it actually did a somewhat good job. But there, the level of referee, we had a referee liaison on with us last week. We talked about that the level of center referee really not that definitely needs improvement. We talked about how accurate they are and much better. Are one of the best on the worldwide stage. So, yes, obviously, but what happened with the team can tell them that one.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Matt. Oh, go ahead, Matt. I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Well, anyway, Matt, let me just say this, if I can. You know, Greg Berhalter has really done a great job. Yeah, I know this is only his second season running the crew as both manager and general manager, but you have to be happy with the results he's done so far. Not just bringing, you know, solid players over, but to manage this roster and to just make them a threat every single year in the league.
Yeah, I think Berhalter's done a tremendous job.
That's a tough loss to handle. That's the most shocking deficit I've seen the crew get thrown at. 2 goals in 7 minutes in the big opening of the match. What do you think Greg's going to do now for next year? What do you think Berhalter's going to try and do to improve the roster before the before the regular season, even before the preseason begins?
That's a very good question.
What's a Metro site, and this show will be part of SB Nation and What's a Metro. How you like it, boys?
Welcome aboard, man. Good to have you.
That's pretty exciting. When we come to Columbus, you're here, bro.
Yep. I definitely want to try and get up there. I'm definitely going to try and get up there if I can. And listen, Congratulations on the Cubs. Definitely. Massive Report podcast, boys. I apologize about that, but hopefully we'll get that solved next time around. But let me just say that I'm very excited to be with SB Nation, with the Once a Metro website. Hopefully I'll get up to Columbus, and I'm hoping to get up there one day. I want to get up there. I want to get on the road and hopefully get to all these places as much as I can. But once again, it's going to be a lot of fun next year. We're going to have a lot of great times here, and all I can say is that it's going to be awesome. don't worry about it, Sammy. I already gave it, but that's okay. You guys were able to get on. It's not a big deal. But once again, you know, you just have to give credit to where credit is due, and that is, of course, Portland Timbers jumping out to that early lead, complete shell-shocked from the Timbers on the Crew. Columbus did try to make a game out of it, and they did, and I just think they were lucky not to get scored on. I think they were very, very lucky, Portland, that all of those opportunities going off the post, that they didn't get scored on. And this game was not thrown into extra time. It probably would have been a lot more dangerous if the Crew were going to find a way to get back. But once again, new ways of getting into the CONCACAF Champions League. The winner of MLS Cup advances. The loser of MLS Cup does not this time around. So that means Columbus is out. Portland is in. And they will join the New York Red Bulls, FC Dallas, Sporting Kansas City for the U.S. end, the MLS end, for the CONCACAF Champions League for the 16-17 edition. Hopefully the draw will be in May before the Copa America Centenario will be coming in, and should be a lot of fun, should be very exciting when that time comes around. But don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, the 15-16 Champions League in CONCACAF will be starting the end of February, and this show will be continuing on now on SB Nation, on the Once a Metro, and it should site. So, you know, anything and everything that's going on with MLS or anything else, it should be coming to you live. Here, blogtalkradio.com/FourYourScenesFire. It should be very, very interesting. Let me now throw this at you guys, because as everyone knows, we have already seen some interesting moments here. Because you know what? Got to tell you, and this is why I'm saying this, because, you know, just got to say it's going to be very interesting to see what next year is going to bring, especially what's been happening with everything in CONCACAF and CONMEBOL, and we'll have two more shows left before we get ready to finish off 2015 on a flourish here. But here's some news coming from Rob Harris. Rob Harris, of course, UK-based sports reporter for the Associated Press, also for Sport TV as well. From CONCACAF, he picked up the newsletter for some information. CONCACAF announces interim leadership structure. The Confederation also confirmed a date for its ordinary Congress in 2016 to elect a new CONCACAF president. So here is that letter, the kind of North American Association Football, today announced that the Confederation's Executive Committee voted unanimously to not appoint a successor president of CONCACAF and to operate the Confederation through members of the Executive Committee whole to the president democratically elected by its member associations. The vote will take place at the 31st CONCACAF Ordinary Congress on May 12, 2016 in Mexico City. The CONCACAF Executive Committee concluded that in light of its critical president be determined by a public election and the scrutiny that comes with it. Current CONCACAF Executive Committee members, Justino Campain, Horace Burrell, Sunil Gulati, Pedro Chaluja, Luis Hernandez, Victor Montagliani, and Sonia Ben-Ami will oversee the Confederation's operations and serve in an advisory capacity to CONCACAF's Acting General Secretary, Ted Howard, and director-level staff. CONCACAF must maintain stability in the Confederation's day-to-day operations, said CONCACAF Executive Committee member Justino Campain. This interim leadership structure demonstrates the Executive Committee's unity and allows us to serve our member associations with a high level of efficiency, transparency, and accountability. CONCACAF Executive Committee member Captain Horace Burrell added, "It is critical for the Confederation's future and the next president be elected by the full Congress rather than statutorily appointed. Under the leadership structure, CONCACAF can ensure there is sufficient time to publicly vet candidates while the Confederation focuses on continued implementation of strong reforms." That comes to the day when members of CONCACAF were once again attending an executive committee meeting in FIFA in Zurich, Switzerland, and once again that swanky five-star hotel is where the people have been pilfered and arrested in conjunction between the Swiss government and the United States Department of Justice, speared and led by Miss Loretta Lynch. Here from the CONCACAF region are those that were arrested: Alfredo Hawit from Honduras, the current FIFA vice president and executive committee member and CONCACAF president, former CONCACAF vice president and Honduran Soccer Federation president. And, of course, with that little piece of information, very interesting. We'll get to this little nugget here in a minute. Others are Ariel Alvarado, current member of the FIFA Disciplinary Committee, former CONCACAF Executive Committee member and Panamanian Soccer Federation president, Rafael Callejas, current member of the FIFA Television and Marketing Committee, former Honduran Soccer Federation president and president of the Republic of Honduras, Brian Hennett, current Guatemalan Soccer Federation president and of the FIFA Committee for Fair Play and Social Responsibility, El Salguero, FIFA Committee member and Guatemalan Soccer president, Hector Trujillo, current Guatemalan Soccer Federation General Secretary and Judge on the Constitutional Court of Guatemala, Reynaldo Vasquez, former Salvadoran Federation President. Some that are with CONCACAF, and some are no longer with CONCACAF. And an official statement, this was done on December 4th, from CONCACAF. I want to thank my colleague Russell McKenzie for this. CONCACAF, December the 4th, today announced that in response just statement, December 2015, CONCACAF's Executive Committee provisionally banned seven individuals from all football-related activities on a national and international level with the CONCACAF region. In accordance with the Confederation's statutes, the provisional bans, which are effective immediately, will remain in place pending the result of the U.S. Justice Department investigation, and until they are ratified by the Confederation's Congress, the provisionally banned individuals are, and we've already told you who they are. And let me just say, it's a very damn shame that the next wave came out of CONCACAF. It's a very big and damn shame that these people have used once again their abilities of their office, whether it's for their own country FAs or for the Confederation of CONCACAF, that they have decided to go the greed route, stuff their own pockets. And it's just a real damn shame. A real damn shame that we cannot trust our governors who govern our Confederation of CONCACAF. We will definitely talk more about this in 2 weeks, but I just wanted to say, you just can't trust anyone anymore now. You know, we all thought the days of Jack Warner, you couldn't trust him, but you could trust others. You thought you can trust others from within CONCACAF, and now you just can't. And Jeffrey Webb really proved that you can't trust anybody anymore these days. Because what we are seeing right now, ever since this whole thing began, with, of course, good old, as John Oliver says, the bad Santa went out there, Mr. Chuck Blazer, became an informant for the FBI. So many intricacies. So many intricacies here. You have people who are supposed to be for you and they're actually against you. It's a real damn is lost right now because of the government or the lack of governance to truly be considered serious. So all I can say is right now is this. Hoping that there will be some decency around here. Hopefully, we will have an opportunity to hire real people who not only truly care about the game, but they don't care about their bank accounts or their wallets or the amount of money that they're going to get under the table. This has to change. This has to stop right now. Hopefully, he does win the president for FIFA. Everything will be a domino effect. That is all I'm asking for. I think that's all we're asking for. We're asking for some clearance. We need some clearance to move forward, and we need to make sure that whatever the reasons are for the game, it's not to fill the pockets or the bank accounts of corrupt officials. And hopefully everything will be righted. My guests, of course, my new colleagues from the Massive Republican Collective, Matt Church and Sam Mummy, very much for joining me tonight. Christian Miles of Fox Sports, Portland, Oregon native. Congratulations once again to the Portland Timbers, the 2015 MLS Cup champions. We shall wait and see what will happen in the 2016 season. Hopefully the schedule will be out quickly like it was last time. My name is Daniel Foyers. Thank you very much once again for listening to me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Have a good night, everybody. Take care and bye-bye for now.